Good morning, everyone. How behind are you on your holiday plans? Well, even for this Congress, the gamesmanship this week down on Capitol Hill is getting extreme. From a Republican-Democrat standoff, now it is the House versus the Senate. House members are, in a sense, trying to compel senators back to Washington to reconsider those payroll tax cut extensions already passed by the Senate, then suddenly killed by House leaders. There's a vote today. House Republicans want a one-year extension to the payroll tax cuts as opposed to just a two-month extension in the Senate. So, in effect, the House is daring the Senate to stay home for the holidays without any more negotiations. Well, he's down on Capitol Hill for us, Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. He's been talking to members on both sides of the aisle and has a portrait of who's running the show down there. Todd, good morning, and what's going to happen today?
Good morning, John. Well, the House is going to come in. You know, when we went into work yesterday, it was with the expectation that House Republicans would come in to the body and late this morning, maybe 2 a.m., 3 a.m. because of procedure, vote on a Senate two-month extension of the payroll tax and vote it down. Now, let me remind you, just so that we're all on the same page, payroll taxes are usually 6.2% right out of the paycheck of every single working American. Last year, as part of a jobs plan, Congress lowered that to 4.2%. That goes back up December 31st unless Congress acts to extend it. And that's about, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 per paycheck per year. That's real money to all of us who are lucky enough to have a job.
It's $1,000 per paycheck per year?
Yeah, that's right. That's the difference in the withholding. If this goes back up to 6.2% for most taxpayers, the Senate extended it for 2 months. Everybody wants a year, but the Senate couldn't reach agreement. The House say they want a full year. Everybody wants a full year. The problem was the Senate couldn't reach an agreement on how to do it because of a lot of different reasons, how it was paid for and Keystone pipelines that were in there and poison pills and all kinds of political chicanery that were in there. Well, we all expected the House to come in late last night and vote down that Senate bill. That is now not going to happen. I want you to listen to a House freshman. This is a guy from Illinois. This is Adam Kitzinger, who's going to give you the sort of line from conservatives, freshmen, other Republicans, about why the House is not interested in this Senate two-month deal that passed with 89 votes, including Mitch McConnell's. Listen to Kitzinger.
We all know that. We're going to be right here again in February without now the pressure of Christmas and everything, and the American people still wondering why we can't get our act together here. I know that that's exactly what that two-month extension is going to do, and I frankly don't want to be part of that.
Now, this is a freshman, Republican downstater from Illinois, confronting Mitch McConnell, the biggest Republican in the U.S. Senate, who's also a bona fide conservative.
That's pretty much what's happening. And from the confidence in Kitzinger's voice, you would think that House Republicans are ready to take that bill that McConnell negotiated and that 33 Republicans voted for and vote on it and reject it, right? You'd think so. Well, John, that's not going to happen today. We're not going to get too far down into the weeds on procedure, but the House is not going to vote on this bill. They're going to vote on a motion to reject it. And the only reason I bring it up is that a motion to reject means there's no way to pass the bill. You can vote, yes, I want to reject, or no, I don't want to reject, but there is no way today for anyone who's for the Senate deal to vote for it. So nobody has to take that hard choice in the House. Listen to Nancy Pelosi. You know her. She's the Democratic leader, kind of calling out Republicans for not actually voting on the policy they all say they don't want.
Let's just get down to it. Put the bill on the floor. Take your chances with your own caucus. See if they're willing to vote for it.
Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House, so she knows what this is all about. Procedurally, to just reject means the bill is dead because a bill like this has to be originated in the House, correct? They have to come up with a totally different bill and start over from zero. I mean, Nancy Pelosi does have a point here, though. Isn't this a little bit about John Boehner not being able to pull the votes, Eric Cantor not being able to get the whipping done appropriately?
We have seen this dynamic so many times before on other issues. Threatened government shutdown in March. Big debt deal over the summer, the Debt Reduction Act. Other issues on government spending where John Boehner either cuts a deal with Harry Reid in the White House or gets close to cutting a deal with the White House. And then what happens? Conservatives in his own conference yank him back and say no. we're not going for it. This has been the reason why we've had the portrait so many times of Boehner walking away from a deal with the White House, or Eric Cantor walking out of the Biden talks
and,
back
and
in
trying
June.
To make it sound like all along they, you know, had a plan, when it really is clear that they're not running the show here. What does it sound like for some freshman Republican to speak in a way that directly confronts John Boehner?
This has always been the problem that he's had. Now, I'll give Steny Hoyer a portrait of this. It may not be quite fair to John Boehner. We'll give him a word, too. Steny Hoyer is the House Democratic whip who really wanted reporters to know what he thinks is going on here in the House of Representatives every time John Boehner makes a deal. Listen to Steny Hoyer.
We are witnessing the concluding convulsion of confrontation and obstruction in the most unproductive Tea Party-dominated partisan session of the Congress, the most partisan in which I have participated.
Well, what voices is he talking about? Who's running the show?
He's talking about Kitzinger, who you heard from.
Right.
He's talking about a fellow coming up here, Tom Reed from New York, another freshman who I'll play you in a moment, who's going to tell you why he's not worried about getting pinned by Obama and Hoyer and Pelosi for a bad vote.
Or Boehner, for that matter.
He
doesn't care about Boehner even.
Well, that's apparently true. They say they do. They say they want to support the leader. And I will say for John Boehner, it's been a little tough because he gave Mitch McConnell license to negotiate this deal, get what you can out of the Senate. McConnell did it, got 89 votes, and then all of a sudden, not good enough. And not only is it not good enough, the House isn't even going to vote up or down on it. So let me – I promise to play you
Tell us about this Tom Reed fellow here.
Yeah, Tom Reed's from New York. He's a freshman. There are major political implications for Republicans who say they're for a payroll tax extension, going to essentially vote it down and dare Democrats to not have a deal. Here's how the freshmen feel about it. Tom Reed.
I don't care about political implications. I've said it once on the floor. I said it to the public. I'll say it again. I don't care about my reelection effort. I came here to do what's right for America. Two-month policy coming out of the Senate is not what's right for America.
And there's nothing Boehner can do about that kind of rhetoric.
Really, not at this point. The House is going to vote this bill down. They're going to reject it today. They have another bill of their own that they've passed. It does have a one-year extension, but it also has Keystone Pipeline. It also has cuts to Medicare.
So this is going down by January 1st. There's the payroll tax extension.
They've got 2 weeks to go. They're going to have to decide to do something by January 1st, or all of our taxes go up. They're going to be working right up to Christmas on this, John.
A Detroit listener texted this. I wish they would show more concern for the middle class and constituents than the party lines. I'll echo that. Todd Willick, thanks so much.
My pleasure.